I think one of the saddest things in the world, as far as my observation of people, is to find somebody who is angry and bitter. And I've discovered there's just quite a bit of that among Christians. Saved folks, yes, born again, but somehow some things happened, somehow something took place, or maybe a number of things, wherever it might have been, in the family, at work, maybe within the church, maybe in your class, somewhere, maybe in the choir, wherever it may have been, somehow, some way, anger, bitterness got there and got set in. And it's a sad thing. And God does not want us to do that. And if there's bitterness, even an ounce of bitterness in your heart tonight towards someone, it needs to be straightened out. Because that is a stronghold that the devil works from. When you have bitterness, you're giving place to Satan. Now I want you to turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. And let's drop down to, or over, whatever the case may be in your Bible, to verse 26. And follow as I read through verse 32. Bitterness is a sin. Harboring anger and bitterness is a sin. And so the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, "Be ye angry and sin not." Married couples are sure glad that's in the Bible. A lot of other relationships. "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." I've heard preachers say, just fight it out until the sun goes down, but then stop then. Well, I'm not sure exactly that that's exactly what it means. But anyway, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That's pretty strict, pretty straight, pretty vivid. Don't let the sun, it's just about sundown, you still got time. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. You see the context of it. Anger, bitterness, wrath, don't give place to the devil. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Could I summarize that in one word? Gossip. Or another good word would be criticism. Don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. "But that which is good to the use of edifying." Edifying means building up. This is an edifice. Somebody built this building. It's an edifice. Building up. And so use it to build up. "That which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." I remind you, the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. I hate for people to say it. He is a divine person. Father, Son, Holy Ghost of God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. And so grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of your redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Bitterness and anger can get a stronghold in your heart and in your life, in your soul, that is your mind, your heart, we call it, your emotions. It gets in there, and that's where Satan gets a stronghold. And it's from that property you have given him with your bitterness and anger that he works. It's some acreage that you give in your soul to the devil. And he sets up something there and works from that place to cause many other problems that come along with it. From that stronghold, Satan torments us with destructive problems and emotions that come into our life. From all of that can come fear and anger and worry and strife. On and on, you could add so many of those. But what we have to do as Christians is learn to tear down, to destroy that stronghold that God, Satan has brought in our life and God is not pleased with. A stronghold of bitterness and anger. And so we have the problem of bitterness. What does bitterness do? It defiles the soul. You have a body, a soul, and a spirit, and it is your soul that bitterness is going to defile. The soul and the spirit are different according to the Bible. I think we're trichotomatic. We're body, soul, and spirit. And so the scripture says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so we know that it can impact that part of us that we call, and the Bible describes, as our soul. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently lest any, now what's the language here, lest any man fail of the grace of God, unless we take advantage of the ability to overcome it. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, when you're angry and bitter and hold bitterness and animosity, you're not the only one that's getting hurt. You're hurting a lot of other people. And many times that has happened in churches. Bitterness decreases our souls in that sense. The psalmist said it this way in 106 verse 15. He said, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. It is possible that leanness is sent into our soul, that part. So what's the solution? Well, the psalmist had that too, because he said that he restoreth my what? Soul. That doesn't mean you get saved again. It means something's out of whack and it needs to get right and get restored. And bitterness can be that thing. Bitterness always gives place to the devil. Go back to verse 27 and look at the admonition. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. When we are angry and bitter, whatever the reason may be, whatever may have caused it, we are giving place to the devil, and we shouldn't want to do that. And so the word place really literally could mean a place of legal control where Satan gets in and he begins to control your life in a lot of different ways because you have given place. Don't give place, this area of legal control, to the devil. Don't give him any space to work from. I don't want him working in my life. Do you? And I don't want to give him any space to work from. Don't give him any place to work from. Bitterness gives place to the devil. And so the devil sets up and he begins to operate from that place. And he operates very powerfully and very strongly, and he begins to torment the soul. And every time that we let the sun go down on our wrath, the Bible says in verse 26, we give place to the devil. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That's a strong admonition to us. But it's one that comes right out of the Word of God. And when we do that, we'll make wrong decisions. We'll have fear. We'll have anger. We'll have depression. A lot of depression that people have goes back to their anger and their bitterness about something. And I have talked to people and I've known people and have counseled people who are angry and bitter, and they have a lot of problems that can be attributed to that very thing. Rejection, many of those things. And so Satan gets a stronghold in the lives of people because of that bitterness. Now what are some of the examples of the strongholds? Here's what here's what people will say. And the devil will convince you that this is right. And he'll will say this, my offender will never change. The person who offended me will never, never, never change. Therefore, I can't forgive them. I believe that's a false conclusion. They can change. And that conclusion is what causes divorce. Because people say, a husband will say, my wife will never change. Or a wife will say, my husband will never change. And that's a false conclusion. There is absolutely nothing too hard for God. Amen. Nothing. And God can work that out among those that are having those problems. Children rebel against their parents. And that's one of the reasons sometimes there's anger and bitterness in their lives. I've talked to some teenagers who absolutely will not forgive their parents. And many times, no doubt, their parents have been wrong about some things. But somehow they got it in their heart that they were not going to forgive their parents. They were not going to forgive mama or daddy for what they did in their lives at some point. And as a result, they suffer because of it. A lot of employees quit jobs because they get mad at somebody and they get angry. I've known people who got mad and quit the job and didn't have another job. You know what I think that is? Sort of dumb. You know, you got to put some food on the table. There might be some unusual circumstances, but a lot of times that's not the way. Wait on God. Let God work it out. I told you the story, and I'll repeat it very quickly because some of you have heard it, some of you hadn't, but I remember working at ARA Manufacturing Company in the factory when I was in seminary, and quite a few of us Bible students worked out there, and we worked on the second shift, and we had a guy there that was mean as the devil. And I mean, he was over the whole plant, and he loved to pick at us and loved to badger us and loved to tout us. And he would come up to me and have some vodka in a Vaseline bottle and say, you want a drink of this? And I would say, no, I don't drink. Well, why don't you? And he'd just rail. He was mean and cruel. And there were times, I promise you, I wanted to kick him in the shin and leave. Or poke him in the face and leave. And just get out of there and quit. But we would all meet at break time, maybe at lunchtime, a bunch of students. And we'd get on our knees up in the shipping department where all the cardboard boxes were. We'd get back in there and pray, God, do something to this heathen, you know. God, move him out. God, help us. We like our jobs and we need our jobs. And he's the one I told you. And some of you remember, I've told this story. God did move him out. He got fired because he had some woman in his office when he shouldn't have had. Somebody caught him. They happened to come back in that night and caught him. Fired him right on the spot. And the next guy we got was a good old Baptist. Amen? And he liked us. And we could get away with everything. No, it wasn't that way. We just quit working. No. But he did. And he was a great guy. I can remember one night I worked in the cabinet assembly department. We'd put a grommet in the deal and set the deal in the cabinet and the slant coil or maybe an A coil. And so a lot of times over in the shipping department, they would run through and package that. And we'd take those round grommets and sail them through there. It was a lot of fun, like skipping rocks on the lake. And I remember one night, just as I threw one at somebody, it skipped right across on the concrete. And all of a sudden, he walked through the door. He was like John Wayne, 6'4", 5". He looked at that thing and watched it, and he looked back at me. And he just smiled and said, he did like that. I said, boy, I'm glad it wasn't that other peckerwood that was in there. You know. But God changed it. We thought, man, he'll never, what's going to happen? And God gave us a good boss, and he stayed around a long time. Church factions. Uh-oh. You know what causes church factions sometimes is pride and bitterness. Somebody gets a little mad at somebody else. You know what can hurt a youth department is some teenagers get mad at some other teenager or some adult get mad at some other adult in the church and, you know, they took my place on the pew or they rushed in front of me in the parking lot. Who do they think they are? and I'm the one that should have gotten to sing, and they used somebody else, or they put them in that position, and I'm angry about it, or there are all kinds of things that could come up, church factions. But God says that those things are not pleasing to Him, and it goes back to anger and bitterness. Jeremiah 32:27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Nothing." God can change those things. And God can work out your differences in the local church. Wives, the Bible teaches that if you really want to help your husband, and especially if your husband is unsaved, you don't do it by badgering him all the time. You don't do it by hollering at him all the time and putting him down all the time and preaching to him all the time. The Bible gives us the formula. 1 Peter 3:1-2. "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." Sorry, ladies. That's right there in the Bible. Amen. Come on, guys, you chicken. Come on, say amen. Thank you. All right. I'm joking. But anyway, "likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word," in other words, if they're not saved and they're not living for God, "they also may without the word," that's always talking down to them and all of that, "be won by the conversation or the lifestyle of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear," respect for God and fear. And that's what will do it. And so getting angry and bitter and fighting it out isn't going to bring that mate across. That works in both directions. Husbands, God says the thing that's going to work at your house is agape love. It's the kind of love that Jesus had for us. And He says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for the church." Love your wives. And love is an action word. It's not just a word to throw out once in a while. It's a word that you need to back up with some action to prove to your wife that you love her, that you care about her, and you're interested in her, and you want her to be happy, and one of your jobs is to help her to become sanctified and more like Christ so that you can present her to Him that way. God says that's the way we ought to be. So husbands, love your wives. Wives, be in subjection. It all works together. And God can change people. Then there's the stronghold where people say, not only my offender will never change, but they say, I must punish my offender. I don't get mad, bless God, I just get even, amen. Isn't that what, you've seen those bumper stickers? You might as well laugh. Some of you think that. Some of you thought that. Romans 12:19. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine." Who does it belong to? God. "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." If it's supposed to be repaid, God will take care of it, and He doesn't need my help or your help to get it done. He does not need that. When we get even, when we take that line of thinking and we get even, we miss the blessing that God gives. The blessing that comes to those who conquered by love. And what happens? It brings destruction. It always tears down and it hurts people's health. A lot of people, the reason they have health problems, not all, and I'm not saying everybody that has health problems is angry or bitter, but sometimes that's what it is. They're angry and bitter, and it works, and it poisons their system more than somebody else's system. So it brings destruction on health, your attitudes. You know, we ought to be joyful Christians, amen? So you can almost tell somebody's sort of angry at God or angry at somebody else. They look like maybe they've had some persimmons that weren't quite ripe or something, you know, and there's no joy of the Lord. And there should be the joy of the Lord in our lives according to the book of Philippians and Colossians and other places. But when we try to get even, what we do is we turn ourselves over to the tormentors. We don't lose our salvation, but we allow Satan some leeway in our lives whenever we do that. And they will take advantage of it, and we give them that advantage. Matthew 18, I believe it is, verse 23 and 24, the Bible says in these verses, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and made payment." You know the rest of the story, how the servant chose to beg for forgiveness, and then he didn't want to forgive anybody else. And God says, that's not right. That's not the way to do it. All the way through the rest of the chapter, you see it there. I don't have time to read it, but look at it, and you'll see that he wanted to be forgiven, but he didn't want to forgive. Why are we that way? We want God to forgive us. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Oh, God, please forgive me for what I did. And we believe in on the authority of his word that he will, and we should be willing to forgive others. And if we don't, we're not Christ-like. We must be willing, no matter what they've done, to forgive others. And so the tormentors cause pain and anguish, toil, working against other things, and vexation of spirit. All of those go along with it. This man asked for patience. He asked for mercy. Oh, God, give me all of this. And he had to ask for that mercy. And at the end of it, he didn't ask for it like he should. Go back, if you will, to verse 26. And it says that he said, "Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all." He never said, "Have mercy." He never confessed his sin. He said, "Have patience with me and I'll pay it all." What we have to do is claim the mercy of God and give out mercy as we claim mercy. And when we ask for it, we give it. And God blesses us for doing so. After he experienced mercy, only after he experienced mercy and asked for mercy, could he give out that mercy like he should. Now, what are some steps of action? Very quickly. Confess bitterness as a sin. Stay with me now. Confess bitterness as a sin. Bitterness is a sin. You say, "I wouldn't get drunk. I wouldn't use God's name in vain." Good. Those are sinful things. Bitterness is a sin. According to the scripture, it's a sin. We should not excuse bitterness. We should not redefine bitterness. We have a way of redefining things that fit our profile in the way we want to live. I'm not bitter. I was just deeply hurt. Friend, what's the difference? It's the same thing. And we try to redefine it and water it down a little bit and make it sound like it's not as bad as it was. 1 John 2:9. "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." That's pretty strong. That's very strong. That's the word of God. "He that saith he is in the light," that I'm walking in the light and fellowship, "and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." You're not walking as a child of God in fellowship with God. You're walking in darkness if you have anger and bitterness and hatred. So when we hate, we pursue with hatred and detest, and God is not pleased with that. Secondly, ask God to regain the surrendered ground. Admit it as a sin, and ask God to help you regain that surrendered ground. I said the psalmist said, "He restoreth my soul." And David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." We need to pray that way and ask God to do it. The word in Hebrew, when we look at the word restore, it has very strong meaning. It means return to the starting point. Return to the starting point. Help me to go back to where I was before I got angry and bitter at someone. Help me to forgive those people. Yes, they did some rough things. And then tear down the stronghold with truth. Truth will set you free. The Bible is clear about that. The truth will set you free. 2 Corinthians 10:4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." It is through God that we're going to pull down that stronghold, and only through God can we do that. Carnal, bitter retaliation is not of the Lord. So how are we going to do that? Well, read the Scripture. Read the Bible and see what it says about the subject. Go to Genesis and read through the Bible one time and look for bitterness everywhere, or get you a concordance that deals with the word bitterness or anger, and just follow it all the way through and see what God has to say about the subject. See what God says about it. And then it's good to memorize some verses so that when Satan attacks you and tries to bring that bitterness back in your life and tries to attack you again, you can quote those verses from the Word of God. At least get one good verse that you can use as a weapon against Satan, so that when he tries to attack you and make you go back and relive all of that stuff and tries to make you go back and get angry and bitter again and boils it up and brings it back up, tries to bring it back up in your life, you can shoot him with the Word of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you resist him? The same way Jesus did, with the Word of God. That's the best way to resist him. Load your gun and shoot at him. Memorize, and then another thing is to meditate. Meditate, think. Boy, that's a rare thing these days. But it's not a bad habit to think once in a while. Just stop and think. Think, meditate, think about what God is saying. And we need to show mercy by forgiving our offender. And I believe that's what God is telling us. That's what he is commanding us to do. In verses 31 and 32, it's so clear in Ephesians 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. This is God speaking to us, folks. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There it is, right there. We're to forgive people. That may be hard, but it's biblical. It's right. It'll liberate you. It'll free you up. It'll put God's blessings back on your life, because I promise you he's removed some of them, whether you realize it or not. And I'm glad to tell you that that last part goes right back to the gospel. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I can tell you tonight, if you're not saved, God for Christ's sake will forgive you. He'll save you tonight. Just like he saved some folks this morning, he'll save you tonight if you're not saved. He'll do it not because you earn it or because you're good, but why does he do it? God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Are you glad you're forgiven tonight? If you're saved, say amen. Amen. Now, we need to forgive others. Emotionally, we must forgive or pay the consequences. What are they? Fear, anger, depression, worry, all of this and other things that go along with it. And certainly he says in Psalm 16:15, he'll give us leanness of soul. Our hearts, our emotions, our mind, leanness there. As long as you are angry and bitter at somebody else, maybe you went through a terrible divorce and you're so angry with your former husband or your former wife that you hope bad things happen to them. Listen, you need to forgive them. You need to forgive them. That doesn't mean you have to agree with them. Children have hurt you. You need to forgive them. Parents have hurt you. You need to forgive them. You had a stepfather that was mean as a dickens. You need to forgive him. It'll release you. Or a stepmother, it will release you. Whatever it may be. It may be something in your house right now between you and your mate. You need to release them and forgive them and get over it and get right with God so that God can put his blessings back on your life. Bitterness is a sin, and we need to make those things right. Anger and all of those things that come with it. Let's stand, please. Father God, we thank you for the forgiveness that you have given us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the story of the man who had a great debt there in Matthew 18, but you forgave him of that debt. the one he owed the money to, the one he owed everything to, was forgave him. And then he went out and made demands on others, and that was so bad, so cruel, so unchristlike. And Lord, you've forgiven us, and often you still have to forgive us when we fail you. Help us to forgive others. It may be the mate, it may be a child, it may be a parent, it may be some other situation, maybe somebody at work, somebody in this church who's angry at somebody else in this church. Oh dear God, help us to be men and women of spiritual maturity, to be relieved and forgiven, and to be freed from such a thing that would tear our souls down. Help that person who is not saved that might be here tonight to come to Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.